Welcome to Rhythm in Rome, where we are exploring cultural differences, similarities, misconceptions, and all craziness in between. So I am your host, Tricia, and I'm here with my friends, Vanessa and Paul. Great to see you guys.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Bonjour.
So before we get started our discussion here today, wanted to do some housekeeping and just wanted to remind you to subscribe so you can catch all our great episodes. Don't forget to look us up where you can follow us on YouTube. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok. Looking forward to connecting with you and certainly answering any questions that you have. So guys, today, what are we doing? We're discussing cultural differences. So
Ooh, Vanessa, I know you sounds like a serious topic,
right?
It can be
to some point. But Benef, why don't you lead us into this? What are we talking about today about cultural differences?
Yeah, so specifically Asia, because prior to moving to Korea and Japan, and we ended up spending like 7 years in Korea and Japan, I didn't know anything about Asia. And in fact, I could not tell the difference between Japanese, Koreans, or Chinese. Like if you were to line them up, I would have been like, they're all the same. If you would have been like, tell me the difference between the languages, I would have been like, it all sounds the same to me. I mean, very, very ignorant. Okay. I'm going to admit that I could not tell the difference between Japanese, Korean, and Chinese. But after living there for 7 years, they are so different. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing they have in common is that they all eat rice and use chopsticks. Like, other than that, the food is different. The clothing is different. Obviously, the language is different. It sounds very different. Just the way they approach foreigners is different. Like, the hospitality is different. And so it's incredible. And I just want to talk about that because if people don't travel to Asia or they don't study Asia, they probably aren't going to know how different these cultures really are. And you've got East Asia and then you've got Southeast Asia, and they're all very, very, very different. So I did an interview with my son and his girlfriend because they pretty much grew up overseas. I mean, they were going to American schools, but still, just like living in Japan, living in Korea, and just having recently moved back to the States to attend college, I wanted to know what were some of the major differences that they noticed. You know, having moved back for the first time in quite some time.
Must be a shock.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is just because the Japanese operate differently than the Koreans. And like understanding that history between those two countries in that region is very, very important to understand the political tensions that they still have today. And just the way that they interact with each other, the two governments. And so it's been fascinating. It really has.
Why don't we just have a look at it and see?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys spent most of your life, like childhood, in either Korea, Japan, or overseas. And so now that you've moved back to the States, I was wondering, like, have you noticed any differences, cultural differences, things that took you by surprise?
So one thing that I would say is definitely a shock from living overseas to living in America is that I feel like the people, first of all, the people are a lot different in that they're louder, they talk more.
All right. That was actually pretty interesting to hear a perspective, mm-hmm. especially from their generation. And I don't mean to like be weirded out by saying their generation. They're obviously younger than
they
we are.
They are a lot younger. It was interesting because he said the same thing that Seb said about Americans being mm-hmm. loud and talking more. So I found that funny.
And it's good.
Yeah. And that's speaking from, you know, Americans, right?
So. I was just about to say that. An American is saying an American is loud and didn't even go into what state, but that was interesting.
All states. I think it's all states.
But I'm curious on the cultural, because I too also And I will get into my experience from when I was living in Korea doing my time, you know, working in the military and the government and stuff like that. But just curious to hear, like, what the more onto the specific differences that, you know, we were loud, we're this and that, but obviously you guys didn't look like them. and curious, you know, looking in mind when folks are coming to visit there that are of different nationality and stuff like that, was there anything that stood out that they were concerned with that, you know, they wanted, you know, to touch on or more interested in?
I mean, I think, well, the Japanese are very accommodating. They're very helpful. They're very excited to have tourists come, and they will help you. They're very kind. And the Koreans are as well. They're maybe a little bit more abrupt in their speech. They're more like Americans when they talk versus the Japanese are more, how do I say, they just, like, they don't want to offend you. Like, they really don't want to say anything that's going to, like, upset you. And the Koreans just, they don't care about that.
One of the things, Benef, that I believe it was your son, or maybe it was his significant other, was talking about, what other than the pollution, I'm curious to find out if you guys notice, what are some things that are in Asia, and I can tell you some that I have, that make you go, So you need to know this before you go.
In particular, so I have a good friend, and he's an avid bike rider. And he's been, unfortunately, in several accidents with vehicles. And in Japan, it was interesting because he said that he would be in the middle of the street, like, bleeding, and they would just, like, drive around him. Like, no one would stop to help.
No.
And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you're, what? And they, but no, because it's like, they don't want to be liable. And I don't know. I don't think there's, like, a good Samaritan law there. So if you,
how do you become
try
liable?
To help someone and that person dies, like, you could be held liable. Yeah. And that, I mean,
okay.
Yeah. So they will be like, oh, you know, it's their time. And I was like, but, I'm thinking, what if it's a kid, you know? But I don't know. But it was Korea.
When that's he would crazy. Be,
I know. I never got a straight answer because I didn't really know how to ask that question. People were like, what? But in Korea, they would rush to help him. So, you know, there was that difference between the Japanese and the Koreans, which I just didn't understand. Like, how can you not help someone in need?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
But I had heard, maybe it was an urban legend of, like, an American driving, probably a service member, and found a body part and reported it, and then was, like, held liable for, you know, the death of that person. You know, that could be an urban legend, but it was stuff like that, that, you know, makes
this
you
was,
go.
Yeah, it's things that make you go, is definitely,
yeah,
because
that's, I definitely mean, weird.
I think that's something to like tag on if somebody is going to be traveling there to who have never been to Asia before.
Right, you might want to be, I mean, because you just don't, and those are things you just don't know. Like, how would you know that that's a thing not to do, not to help someone? Because
okay, well, here's,
you could
but,
be
well,
held liable
thing
if things don't go well.
Mm-hmm. So when things go wrong here in, you know, in America, you know, in the United States, what exactly do? We pull out our phones. Does anyone pull out their phone to record it?
Well, nowadays, yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah.
What, it depends. Right. It depends on, like, if it's an accident, I probably wouldn't. But if it's something where I know it's going to escalate.
Yeah, but I'm not talking
else,
about you. I'm just talking about someone else in general. Would that happen?
They certainly are going to record it. That, yeah, I.
Or viewership.
And our society is very litigious. Like, we want to sue everybody.
Great.
So that's, like, evidence.
Right. So I'm just thinking that if you were probably, if especially if you're not traveling solo, I would think that someone else would do that. So I guess if you're traveling in Asia, make sure you know, go in tandem so that you can record if in case something happens. But
not only that, just make sure you go in tandem. Yeah, make sure you go in tandem in case if you do get injured, somebody's there to help you.
Someone is there to help you. That would probably, I mean, that's probably would be best in all situations, but
yes.
I mean, you know,
always have a battle buddy.
But we do have a lot of solo travelers.
Look, I've never experienced that when I was living in Korea, but I can tell you in France, when it comes to, you know, since we're going on to the injury report kind of thing, I know I was injured in France. I remember I dislocated my shoulder and I had nobody. I just came here 6 months into coming here and stuff like that and dislocated my shoulder. And I didn't obviously don't speak the language very well at the time. And my neighbor, thank God, she speaks very good, fluent English. And we called the ambulance. And it took, like, my shoulder was out of place for an hour. An ambulance did not show up for almost an hour.
An hour?
Almost an hour. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And then I got to the hospital and waited.
Yeah.
And then they finally got to me.
I mean, I'm assuming they were just doing the triage. I mean, if you had like an eyesight situation, they would have shown up quicker.
Yeah, but when you dislocate your shoulder, I don't know if anybody's ever done that before.
No.
It's hitting nerves and then you get nerve damage. But the situation is the fact that regardless, it took forever. And I did witness another funny tale, literally someone getting hit by a car here in France. We were walking home, me and my friends, and all of a sudden an older guy, and we're talking about he was probably in his 70s, he got hit by a car. And the ambulance took almost an hour to come. And oh, by the way, the ambulance truck
is around the corner.
That's
excessive. Yeah.
Okay.
Do they just not have the funding or like, is it?
I don't know.
Are the resources? You know,
it just put me in mind with what you were just talking about with in Japan. So I was just like,
okay. So I think we have to stop right here and say, okay, let's say the emergency numbers. So in the case we're traveling in the United States, it's 911. 911. And in France, it's what's the number you dial?
Well, 112. And then there's some other numbers too as well, because you don't do 112. If it's non-emergency, it's a long ass number, which I don't know.
If it's an emergency, it's a longer number than it is.
If it's not emergency, an emergency, like non-emergency type of things. But 112 is usually you go and you'll talk to somebody and then they'll probably tell you, call.
They'll direct you.
Yeah,
got it.
Or something.
And then
like
Vanessa, where would you say in Korea or Asia?
I have to look. I don't know.
If anything, we can always.
We'll put it in comments.
I want to say it's like 119. I don't even know. That was part of the problem. Yeah. I never actually know.
I just figured since we got on this topic, we need to let folks know.
No, that's a good point, Trisha.
Are they going to come? Well, we don't know, but at least you have the number.
I don't even know if I should get mad.
Public Enemy was right. 911's a joke, and apparently 112 is as well.
I don't know, but honestly, I don't know if I should be upset or just laugh, Benefa, at the fact of what you just said, because thank God, I don't think any of us had to worry about such a serious, serious situation ever before. But with all jokes aside, it just mind boggles me. Even though, yes, your kids have said that, it's safe, you know, and all this other stuff. But of course, pollution is an issue too as well.
One of the things I noticed was that while being in Korea, the air pollution is a lot worse compared to the States, but on litter and everything, the States is definitely worse compared to Korea.
And that worries me too as well. Someone that has asthma, is that going to be something that's going to be
Well, and it was particular in Korea, the air pollution, and it's not just the air coming over from China. It's also the Koreans themselves have their own pollution. And that's a real issue. Like, how are they going to clean that up? Because it would be so bad. I mean, and I don't, like, the numbers would be out of control. Like, say 20 is normal. It would be like 140 or 100 something. And to the point where they would be advising you to wear masks. They wouldn't be able to have practice outside, like sports practices outside. And like, I couldn't see across the street and it wasn't fog. Wow. I mean, it was like the smog to where I couldn't see the house.
Oh, I remember that in Korea. That's definitely true.
So there's definitely no laws of pollution. There's nothing.
That's a good question. Cause I don't, they've got to have.
I think it's more lax than it is in the States. It's not that they don't have any. It's just because I remember even when I was in Korea, they're burning trash or whatever it is. And it's just going up in you know, the rice paddies and stuff like this. And I don't know if you remember, Benef, but like the rice paddies, it's the fertilizer, it's manure and...
I know. Well, that's not the smell though. The smell is coming from, I mean, it's industrial pollution, not just like
fertilizer. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And a lot of it is coming over from China as well, especially if you're on that western side.
What would you tell someone who's, because Japan is also a very popular destination, not only for Americans but just in general. I guess you've been there 7 years, like you said. Some do's and don'ts when people who literally have never been to Japan, because I'm one of those people, and I do say it is on my bucket list of something that I want to do.
Absolutely.
What would you say your top three do's and don'ts weren't there before?
So let's see. One thing I just find interesting, I don't know whether this is one, two, or three, but like in Japan, they don't have any public trash cans. So if you want to throw something away, you need to take it with you back to the hotel or back to wherever you're staying. We're always looking at you could see the tourists because they'll be looking for trash cans. They just don't have any ever since the sarin gas incident in the subway in the early 90s.
Can you go to a fast food restaurant and throw the garbage there?
They probably wouldn't throw their personal trash there. They would literally bring their personal trash like home with them. Which is interesting because I'm just not prepared to do that. And even when we'd be walking our dog, I'd have the doggy bag, but then there's no trash can to put the poop in. And so I got to bring it back with me. That's so weird. So I would I'd be like poop in the leaves.
That's different.
No looking, I'd like kick some leaves over. Cause I'm like, I don't want to take it home. Like, ew. But it's such a clean country. Despite the fact that there is no public trash cans, you don't see any litter, no roadkill. I would be like, do they even have animals? Because I never saw a roadkill.
Do you get a fine?
Someone's coming up and cleaning it immediately.
Do you get a fine if they see you?
I don't know. Rather than a fine, it would just be like the public shame of the fact that you're breaking the rules. Because very big rule followers. And as a collective, which is why, you know, everyone wore masks during COVID. It wasn't a problem. Yeah. It was just like, you know, follow the rules.
Singapore. Yeah, you can't even spit on the street in Singapore.
No gum chewing. I couldn't buy any gum in Singapore, and I didn't know that. I'm not looking for gum. All they have is mint. I will say that in Japan, follow the rules. Korea, they're less rule followers. Japan, gotta follow the rules. Koreans will break the rules. They don't care as much.
Just their traffic alone is a broken rule.
Yes. So I think as an American, in Korea, you might feel a little more at ease because it's less, there's just societal wise, they're less rigid for tourists. I mean, the Japanese, they're very everyone follows the rules. So,
regimented.
You don't want to be that one that's talking too loud on the train because then they might look at you straight. Or, my husband, he was on a bus to the airport. And he wasn't wearing the seatbelt. I mean, it's a bus. Who wears the seatbelt on a bus? But this woman took the time to put in her Google Translate, you must wear the seatbelt or on the highway. It's the rule.
That's wild. Wow.
And he was like, okay.
Funny you mention that because in Germany, I used to get the train is coming by and you have to stop your car. You're in your car. I literally, a couple of times, had someone get out of their car behind me telling me to turn my engine off because you're supposed to turn your engine off when a train is going by because of pollution.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. I've had, it's normally the older Germans that would do that. Literally knocked on my window. Was like, I was like, what is he talking about? And then he's like, turn off. Okay. And then you start it back up when the train.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's just
just Just because we asked before, I just kind of want to interject here. I actually looked up to see what policies were in place for Japan specifically, since that's really who we're speaking on. And Japan enacted the Air Pollution Control Act in 1968. And the act sets the emission standards for air pollutants such as soot and smoke, volatile organic compounds, particulate matter, and mercury. So it doesn't necessarily say,
what is first?
By state.
No, they have stricter
factories and workplaces. So no, yes,
the Japanese have stricter laws. Yeah, their laws are a lot more strict versus the Koreans. So I think that because the Japanese, their air was cleaner.
And then I looked up the Korean because I wanted to make sure that we have that. And of course, we're talking about South Korea, right? So
yeah.
it says as of 2020, so we're in 2024, but as of 2020, South Korea enforces regulatory limits on 11 air pollutants and 32 hazardous air substances, which are up from 11 air pollutants and 18 hazardous air substances in the previous bill. So,
yeah, but of course they're not going to give percentages or anything like that because that's
apparently they have 61 coal-fired plants that are one of the main contributors to the air pollution. 61.
Okay. And it seemed to be worse in the winter and in the spring, from my experience. It's just interesting.
I'd be curious to find out what others would think, you know, and what are their experiences of whoever, you know, if there's anybody that's either listening in or anything like that. You know, drop a comment on if they've been to any of these Asian countries. You know, what are your experience on any do's and don'ts
traveling? Yeah, because I do want to bring up because like in the video she mentioned, you know, feeling unsafe in America versus Japan or Korea.
As a woman living in the States, I definitely feel more unsafe here compared to where I did, like in Asia countries like Korea. Especially with like the recent shooting going around and other horror stories about sex trafficking and things like that.
I will say that I did feel very safe in Japan and Korea, but she specifically talked about sex trafficking here in the States. And yeah, I just found that interesting because you know, when I think about sex trafficking, I'm not thinking about Japan, Korea. I'm thinking more Southeast Asian countries like Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, you know, but I don't often think about the United States. And that just could be my naivete on that, you know.
No, we got too as well. It's just not as heavy as Taiwan.
Yeah, well, unfortunately,
Thailand.
Yeah. And unfortunately, where I live here in Texas, Houston is the number one, you know, number one city for trafficking.
Where are they coming from? Where are the, I don't, I like that's
usually
the
they're
I
coming know. Through the border usually.
Exactly. Coming in through the border.
Okay. Just, from South, Central and South America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you'll find too, that there's a lot of, you know, if we're talking about cultural differences and we're talking about religion, it's believe it or not, it's a lot of churches, no matter what denomination, someone has some type of organization, and I'm talking in the Houston area, that has to deal with trafficking and has some ministry that's involved in that because it is so big here.
Wow.
That's insane.
Now, well,
does it mean that if you're out on the street and, you know, I mean, there's definitely a demographic, right? So there's definitely what they're looking for, but, you know, it's something to be concerned about, right? So.
Well, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the other thing that, I mean, my son brought up was the homeless population that, and I've definitely noticed, you know, since moving back, how just prevalent it is. And that's sad and disturbing. But we just didn't see that overseas. Now, I don't know if that's because they're doing a better job or if it's because the homeless people, they have more shame put upon them culturally. And so they hide themselves.
I was going to say, could it be just because we don't see it?
Yeah.
Could it be because they're hiding it?
Right.
And they literally just push them away and just ignore their rights. You know what I mean? Because I see that sometimes in certain areas, even heck, I can even say, well, I was going to say I could say France, but I can see it even when I go to like Switzerland, for example. Like I rarely see, you know, homeless people, you know, within their areas. I mean, of course they have them and so on. Even in Luxembourg City, where I live, Benef, you visited me there too as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't think you remember seeing any homeless in the whole area. I think I saw one homeless person that was laying in the streets and he didn't even look that homeless because, you know, he was dressed and so on, but he was asking for money and stuff. But I'm always curious by that because I'm wondering other countries, do they just ignore their rights and they just push them away and just hide it so that it's better viewed upon when for tourism and stuff like this? So you don't get all that situation and so on. But that was interesting that they did pick up on that and notice.
Yeah.
It.
I do feel like the Asian countries, or at least the ones that I've, you know, Japan and Korea, they will put more shame on an individual than maybe we have here in the States. Like
and that's crazy to me. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like put more shame. Where do they go then? Do they put them in the gutter or do you, and I'm not trying
to. Well, like cultural shame so that you behave a certain way, you know? I mean, I it's like if you go to prison, the family has to then provide for you while you're in prison. So it's not like they got to bring you the food and, you know, it's a burden on the family too, if you go to prison. Whereas here it's
sucks because what happens if you come from a rich family versus a poor family? That means you don't eat.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure, but it's certainly different. Wow. It's a different system.
That's definitely something that is definitely something to put on it. Cause I mean, here it's the taxpayers, right? Taxpayers in the United States.
Yeah. Well, they have a higher suicide rate in Japan and Korea because it's not looked upon as shameful to take one's life. It's looked upon as something that you're doing out of honor for your family.
Correct.
As I understand it. It's not the same. I mean, and that could be religious portions of it too, because in the Christian religion, it's, you know, a sin to take your own life.
Well, I would think it's selfish, considered selfish. Yes, because it's a, you know, it is everyone has their place in community, right? Because of those, you know, in that part of the world. So if you're not seeing as doing your part, you know, or you're seeing as not being that that positive, you know, influence or light on your family, then yes, it's a total disgrace.
Mm.
So it's very much tied into the family love is very much tied into doing the right thing.
I see that.
It's very much about the collective and that's different. Even the way they make decisions, like within the government agencies. So we would, when I was in the military, would have to do negotiations for different programs. And so they would make decisions, you know, as a collective, whereas Americans, there's one person that's identified as the decision maker. That's insane. And we don't get any training at all. At least the Army doesn't get any training. They're just like, go do negotiations. But we're like, I don't know anything about Japanese culture.
Figure it out.
They're fit for it. Figure it the fuck out. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. And they're very different, you know, and we'd be like, oh, let's do A, B, and C. And they're like, oh, it's difficult. And we're like, well, how can we make it easier? But they were like, no, difficult means we don't want to do it. They don't want to say no. So they're like, it's difficult. Whereas like, and I had a friend who did trilateral. So he was working with Koreans, Japanese, and Americans. And like, the Koreans would be like, the Japanese are lying because they're saying it's difficult. You know, they're saying something that's not the straight answer because that'd be offensive. They're not going to say it like that.
Right.
And the Japanese would be like, the Koreans are lying because they're saying this is fucking bullshit. And they're like, oh, nobody would say that. Why would you? That's offensive.
And that's the cultural differences again.
Yeah. Between the two.
Let me add in also, because I also found it curious also from what they discussed on crime, that they felt a lot more safer. Because and it draws me back to, because I've said it already in other, you know, podcasts that we already done, you know, I do feel obviously safer anywhere outside of US, specifically a lot of times, in Europe than anywhere else. So it's interesting at the age that they are, that they've noticed things like this too as well. And is it because they feel no one is bothering them on the street? Because I don't know how, well, I guess she did say about sex trafficking is not an issue there versus the state. So that's why she
Or it's not so overt. I don't know if it's not an issue.
I mean, I guess the we don't see, or we didn't see the violent crimes that we see in America. So we didn't see it, lots of shootings. It's very rare, or lots of rapes. I mean, the things that we heard about with rape usually involved a U.S. service member, unfortunately. And then, like, I had a friend who left her purse on the train at the Tokyo station, or at the airport station, one of the two. Like, literally just left it there. but it was, when her husband went to retrieve it, it was at the, someone had turned it in to the lost and found, like, completely intact.
Yeah. And I can say the same. I've experienced something like that here in Paris, of all places, in Charles de Gaulle Airport. And yeah, I literally forgot, you know, when you go through the conveyor belt thing and you take all your jewelry off and everything like that. I left my iWatch, my iPhone, and my passport in the stupid bin thing. Yeah. And I was so nervous and scared. And next thing you know, the security person came and brought it to me where I was in the terminal.
But
and this was after an hour of waiting.
An hour. But do you think that would have happened if you had been on the subway?
Hell. In Paris?
Yeah.
Actually, yes, it would. Because
do you think they would have returned your stuff?
No. I've seen someone who left a wallet before on the metro, and this was late. Now, it could be because he was a good person.
But yeah, I mean, clearly he was.
He was a good person. And I did see it just that one time. But no, I don't think that would happen on the metro, because the metro in Paris is a very big issue here, because there's a lot of pickpocketers and so on. And yeah, in Paris. So yes, you're right. It would not happen on a train in Paris or anything this. So, but it's interesting that I think the every one of us can easily say whenever we travel outside of the States, which is probably not, as Americans, doesn't bode well for us, that we feel a lot more safer, even whether we're a person of color or just in general outside of America, we feel a lot safer. And I don't know what that means. And that's kind of,
again,
embarrassing and scary.
I mean, again, I think it has everything to do with the fact that, and maybe it's because, and I'm totally reaching here. The only thing I can think of is that here in the United States, we have different states. So there's different societal things, there are different communities, there's a lot of different things, and it's vast, it's large. And we have different cultures, we have different, you know, everything.
But we have that in every other country. There's different states in France.
But, you know? No, and I get it, but for the most part, they're French, right? Or they're Spanish, or they're, so there is a cultural something. American means a lot of things. It means a lot of different things. Do you see what I'm saying? So I feel like community,
the melting pot.
Yes. And America is very individualistic. A lot of European countries, Asian countries, whatever, are very community based. So, or community thought, if you will. So I think we
slightly challenge you and just say that instead of materialistic, we are materialistic, but we're also more capitalist society.
Absolutely.
So it's all about,
it's all about
money.
Me. Yes,
because I got money and I got this and it's nothing bothering me. Okay, fine. Everything else goes out the window.
Right.
Versus, as a collective somewhere else, they're looking at, you know,
And in just in light and in jest, I think when we're on vacation, we tend to, you know, again, as Americans on vacation, you know, we tend to be a little bit more, you know, free, if you will. So we feel like, oh, you know.
When you say free, you're talking about us. We're just being assholes.
I'm talking about us being able to let our hair down. We're not here. So we're experiencing. And
I guess,
you know,
what I'm saying so is when we're
tend
when
to
we're
have
free,
your guard down a little bit, right?
No, and we do, but we still
people know
we
we're American.
Are Americans, right? We still go into another country, letting our guards down.
Vanessa, I really want to go back to the safety, because that really hit home for me. Thing is, you know, we've made light of a lot of things, you know, thus far in what we've talked about, but it was very interesting that seriousness with the young people brought up, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, and I just really want to touch on the safety as women. You know, that was something that was very poignant, not to mention just in, you know, Mina, but, you know, Cameron also came up with that. I mean, he brought that point up as well.
Yeah,
of the safety factor. And I don't know if it's just because, you know, of his girlfriend, his significant other, whatever that circumstances are, but, you know, that's a concern. But I find that a little, I don't know. I was trying to wrestle with that when I was listening to that. That struck a chord with me. That hurt me. That so young,
yeah,
you know, that is such a, that's such a thing.
Okay.
I mean, we were sheltered from the chaos that happened, the whole, you know, with the George Floyd shooting, with all the other mass shootings, with the Capitol. Like we weren't there for that. And then like they come back, and within 6 months of being at school, there's a shooting on campus. I mean, that's just like reality set in, like, oh, the world, at least my part of it, isn't safe. And it was just like, right. Shit, because, you know, it is a big country, so there's unfortunately shootings happening pretty regularly around the United States, and to have one happen in the exact place that you are, it's like, well, damn. I mean, you know, that's really it just sort of, they were really shooken up from that,
and we're getting immune to it and stuff. And Trisha, I don't want to put you on the spot either, but you did, I thought you had mentioned something about you or your daughter or someone that was traveling also overseas, not in Asia, but I didn't know if that was because it was in light of what we're talking about with Benef and her kids and what their experience was. You know, we're talking about cultural differences and certain things, mm-hmm. and I'm sure she probably going to be interviewed on it and stuff like that too as well, and get to hear from her. But definitely. I didn't know if that was something you were interested in touching on or holding off until we can cut this part out too, if you want.
Well, no, I mean, she did definitely mention to me, I mean, I can definitely preface what she said. I mean, I'd love for you to hear her thoughts on it, you know, straight away, but she just basically said that she was very aware, you know, of the differences. Now, did that stop her from having a good time, or did that really, and she didn't feel it as much in Ireland. It was when she actually got to England that there was, you know, that she could, she felt.
Doesn't surprise me.
That she felt, you know, that there was a difference. Yeah. You know what I mean?
England
that,
is a sister of America.
Yes, it is. So,
so it doesn't surprise me.
I mean, of course, you know, her being who she is and as resilient as she is. No, I mean, that's not a factor for her. She has the same kind of mentality as I do. You know, I want to travel to as many places as I can so that I can introduce myself to other people.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
What that is, and to change whatever perception that they have, or let them think of a different perspective. But in particular, yes. Ireland, not so much. But England was definitely there. So yeah, I'm looking forward to sharing that with you so that you can hear from her directly.
Okay. No, that's interesting, and so on.
All right, so Benef, I think we definitely said here that, or what we found is that there are very stark differences.
For sure.
Of our of living in Asia and definitely you know on the day to day there. And you know, first of all, we want to thank you know, I want to thank your son and his girlfriend for being a part of the show.
Yeah, this was really enlightening.
Yeah, it definitely was. I know it's more serious than we even thought it was going to be, but you know, I still think it was very good.
But it's great, and it was great to hear from a young generation perspective on this.
Right.
So
exactly,
not too far from what we
generation were alpha, right? Yeah,
it's exactly.
I can't keep up.
But yes, definitely, you know, certainly, you know, having heard some things from my daughter as well. So we definitely want to, you know, thank the younger generation for chipping in there.
I have hope.
We do have hope. We do have hope. Yeah, definitely. I just really want to throw it to you guys out there, you know, give us some comments and some things, some do's and don'ts. If you've traveled in those, you know, in that part of the world and you have some things that maybe we didn't cover or things that we should probably discuss in future shows. We'd love to get your opinion on that. And definitely, definitely give us some comments on what you've experienced so that we can share that with others, possibly in another episode. We definitely want to close out the show and remind you to definitely subscribe, tell all your friends. We definitely want you to be a part of what we do here. And we look forward to doing the show for you and definitely encompassing what you also have in mind as well. As we do, it seems like as what we're going to do now is customary. Yes. When we close out this show is that we are going to toast you.
Somebody drank off everything.
Drank everything over there.
Know but who's the alcohol?
Who still have their glass? We're gonna say cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks. Prost. Everything. Get